The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Green Gill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building, talking about Season 1, Episode 17 of Community Physical Education Pool. Pool, Jess Sterling.
You did the joke anyway.
That's the joke.
It's a great joke.
Yeah.
Might as well
Was
call
it not
me
good?
Gravy Jones.
Was it not good?
I mean... It was better this time because I knew what the joke
was. What do you mean this time? It was the first time I've ever heard this.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Back up. Reverse it.
Yeah.
I'm here. Let's talk some pool. I've played pool like twice in my life.
Let's talk pool. Let's talk about Abed wooing people by transforming into a velociraptor. Let's talk about the revelation of what a bagel is. Now I know. There's a lot going on.
Did you not know bagel meant bagel?
No, I understood, but I didn't understand like how it happened on the show, and now I get it. I'm scandalized by it, obviously. As a New Yorker, I am deeply scandalized by it, as I'm sure our third talking head on the panel is, who is also a New Yorker, who must have been very upset about this. You've heard him on Community Building in the past. If you are a patron of Post Show Recaps, was on Community Building Season 0 talking Halloween, and now is talking about sports, the very competitive world of pool, not the swimming variety. Ben Taub, Coach Taub, in the house. Ben, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great. I pulled out the shortest shorts I could possibly find.
I'm also
just
currently
so I
wearing
can prove
pretty
I can
short
look
shorts.
Cool in shorts and yeah. also podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to
I
be
basically
here.
Only podcast in shorts anymore.
Yeah.
You only wear shorts, I thought. Like, you
I don't really.
Wear pants.
I try very hard to never wear pants.
I don't think I've worn like real pants like during a work day
yeah.
in like
a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
a long
I'm never
time.
Going back. Never
I
going
feel
back.
Like.
You're
a
gonna
pants
have
without
to.
An elastic band, like just should be outlawed at this point.
I am
like,
all,
only elastic bands.
I am only wearing pants that present as real pants, but are actually elastipants. That's like Ooh. The only thing I'm doing now. Like they've got the button, they've got the fly. That's mm-hmm. fine. But it is also very stretchy, is what I am looking for.
Yes.
Stretchy
yeah.
pants. I want to give a shout out to birthday celebrant Deidre Lipsicus, who is basically my personal shopper at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She's always sending me things to buy for my wardrobe. She hasn't let me down yet. And this past year was like the introduction of like great stretchy clothes that look like real clothes, but are actually just like super duper comfortable and stretchy and incredible. And I'm not going back. I'll play pool in my stretchy khakis.
I feel like they need a better name for the marketing though, like because they're like stealthily comfortable, but like there has to be like alliterative way to do that.
Yeah, you know what I used to have in
stretch
high school,
pants. No, that's not good enough. Stretch pants.
No, because I don't think that makes it sound like they're fancy.
Stretch slacks.
Yeah, it sounds casual.
Stretch slacks isn't bad.
Stretch slacks.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
A little fancy tail there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was really crazy in high school, I used to wear, I had these, like, these pants, but they had the flannel insert in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those were the bomb. Like, yeah. Those are the most comfortable pants ever made.
Correct.
Like, you're getting a hug every time you're walking around the halls.
Yeah.
Don't you sweat, though? I feel like that's just, like...
They're winter pants.
Profusely.
They're like for, like, cold wear. You know, these are cold wear pants.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in New Hampshire, so it's, yeah. like, you know, it was brick.
These are cold wear pants.
Yeah. My dad has jeans like that he yeah. wears when he has to work outside in the
yeah
winter.
With like a flannel lining. It's the
yeah.
bomb.
Ugh. Yeah,
it's very, very, very good stuff, as is community, as is having Ben here. Ben, welcome back. Ben, how have you been? How's life treating you these days?
Hey, I've been great. You know, I'm just so happy that baseball season is back. Like, my Red Sox have been, like, overperforming.
That's your physical education.
Exactly.
You're all about the baseball.
Yeah, and, like, so much sports on, and, like, I don't know.
Can you wear, like, a leather jacket for baseball?
I think you probably could, unless you're a pitcher, you probably could. If you're a catcher, that's definitely going to help, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're getting beamed, like, all the time, like, yeah. when you're missing. Like, you are, like,
oh, it's like a defensive.
Yeah, there you go.
It's protective gear.
Yeah, I mean, some of the managers, like, wear, like, pretty, like, heavy coats, though. Like, they yeah. have, like, the team gear. But, yeah, no, like, everything's been good on
do
my
they
end.
Edit that out of sports? How people are, like, throwing balls at the managers, and so they're wearing, like, the very thick
yeah,
coats
in between
to protect
innings,
themselves?
When I played baseball, like, in high school, like, you know, like, while the catcher's, like, in their gear on, like,
yeah.
you have, like, a manager, like, you know, behind plate catching, and, like, you know, they'd miss,
yeah,
you know, more yeah. frequently.
I'm just assuming that that doesn't make it the final cut.
No,
they get rid
Snyder
of
Snyder cut though.
In the Snyder cut, you yeah, see yeah. the you see them hit the manager. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
This episode feels like maybe could have been Snyder cutted a little bit in certain places. Like, they really go for it. Like, there is some Zack Snyder tendencies in, like, mm-hmm. two men who are just, like, going super aggro at each other at the pool table. Mm-hmm. In the form of your
of
guy
nakedness.
Jeff Winger, full butt shirtless. they go all the way
yeah.
Here in community building this week. Coach Bogner, aka Sean Hunter's father.
Yes,
my guy.
We
Great
love
to
him.
See ya.
The voice is iconic, honestly. That voice can do anything.
Do you think, Jess, like, you could hear him? And recognize him by voice alone without, like, seeing oh, yeah. him?
1,000%. It's an iconic voice. Anybody who grew up in the 90s should know that voice. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear it right now. I'm closing my eyes for the visual, the audio medium. We're on a Twitch stream. I'm closing my eyes. Confirm?
Confirm.
Can you confirm?
Yes.
I can confirm. Hear him. I heard him.
You did it.
Yep, I did it. Coach Bogner, are we going to see him again, or is this it?
I don't think so. I think it's just a one-off.
Oh, yeah. Man. Great
yeah,
one-off.
Blake Clark. He's fantastic. He always seems to play this, like, type of character, though. I don't think he could play any other character.
Yeah, I can only play this guy who kind of talks like this and has a real problem with your manliness.
Yeah.
Like,
is there an Adam Sandler movie he's not in? Like, I feel like that those are all, like, the Happy Madison movies.
Waterboy, yeah, iconically definitely. So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coach yeah. Bogner. I don't know the name of the actor, and
Blake,
I'm not
Blake Clark.
I was just going to say I'm not sure that I want to know, but
oh,
now
sorry.
I do. So Blake Clark. He doesn't look like a Blake Clark.
Or Clark.
He looks like he should have, like, a more.
He
like,
looks like he should be
like a fancy
named
name
Coach Bogner.
Yeah.
You know, he really, I think, almost more than anybody else on Community
looks like
so
a
far.
Dusty just or
like,
Rusty.
Ooh, Dusty would be good.
Could yeah. be a Leonard
Dusty
as well.
Clark.
Like, not, yeah, to, not to step on our
Leonard
boy
Dagan.
Leonard.
Yeah. Dusty Bogner. I love that.
Dusty
I think that's,
Bogner.
Dusty
that's
Bogner
his name.
Is pretty
changed.
Good.
That's canon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah we've canonized it. Great to see him. Wild to find out that Britta calls bagels bagels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone actually do this?
Yes. This is Dan Harmon does this. That's why he yeah. wrote it into the script. He's from Michigan,
uh-huh.
somewhere in the Midwest. And I guess he pronounces them bagels, and he got okay. so much crap for it that he wrote it into the script.
Totally fine for, like, a regional thing. But then to, like, be Britta and say, like, I'm a New Yorker, they're called bagels is
Well, she's
outrageous.
Not a New Yorker. She lived in New
she
York.
She lived in
yeah.
New York.
Big difference.
This is outrageous.
Like, the show's in Colorado, right? Yeah. Like, that's where it's supposed to be based.
I think she's from Colorado, and then she lived in New York for a while, because she says, I lived in New York. I know how to say bagel.
Okay,
did she
how
actually?
Long,
yeah, or is
how
it a
long
lie?
Do we yeah, think she that she did? Like, yeah. There's no way, like, Britt is the
a
type
week.
Of character where, yeah, it's like two
yeah,
weeks,
couple
like,
months,
I'm
couple
a New Yorker.
Years.
Yeah, like, it couldn't have been that long.
No.
A week long. She, like, got a single bagel.
And what type of bagel? What type of bagel?
And didn't even like ask. Like she probably just pointed at the thing. Can I have one of those? And they're like, yeah. And then they gave it to her. And so she never had the opportunity to say the word bagel out loud. So it was just bagel in her mind. It boggles the mind.
I've heard this as like a Canadian / Midwestern thing. But like, yeah. You know, like they, instead of
that's
saying
fine. That's fine.
Bag, yeah. They like bag.
No issue.
Yeah.
No
so
issue.
I wonder if, I don't know how, though, you're from Colorado and you say bagel. That doesn't really make sense.
No issue.
Oh, yeah. Dan Harmon is from Wisconsin. So I knew it was in the Midwest.
Okay.
No issue.
Yeah. But he doesn't think, the funny thing is I listened to the commentary and he doesn't think it's a regional thing. He thinks some people just say bagel. And I'm like, I don't think that's how life works. But
yeah. Yeah.
Why? is that a choice? But like at some point, like you can make that choice to say bagel. I think at some
I think
degree,
it's at
just,
a certain point you're just asking for it. If you just keep saying bagel, and you know people are going to make fun of you.
I don't know. It again, like in certain contexts, it's totally fine and acceptable to me. But in the context that Britt is trying to front it as, is that as though she's trying to like present it as like authoritatively, this is called a bagel. I would like to strike this from the record because it's just not true. It's a bagel. Yeah. I would love to eat a bagel right now.
Me too. Now the stock of bagels that I want some.
Josh, do you guys want to stop doing the podcast and just go eat a bagel?
Yeah. What are your bagel orders?
Oh, this is a great question, Ben. This is a really good question. I guess it depends on the mood. Traditionally, at the highest point on the bagel chain. As far as like, let's just talk, like, but instead of like breaking it down to sandwich and like all like the toppings, whatever, just the full on bagel situation, gotta be the everything bagel. You just cannot beat it. It's got everything.
It's fine.
Literally.
Yeah. It's
I just
fine.
Here's the thing. If I'm going to eat an everything bagel, it can't be like somewhere where like people are going to have to look at my teeth after. Like it's like makes me self-conscious
just
and also
your,
my breath
rinse your,
would
smell. Rinse your mouth. You know,
I guess
you
so. I'm a big fan of like an Asiago bagel.
Okay.
Big fan
what are you
of that.
Talking about? You just besmirch the everything bagel. You're
I
like,
will eat
I
an
prefer an Asiago bagel. You may as well call it a bagel at that point.
So it's like a halfway to a pizza at that point.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I love a veggie cream cheese. That
yeah,
is
veggie cream cheese is great.
If I'm going savory, that's my choice.
Get that cream cheese, the scallion. I love that.
Yeah, scallion cream cheese, number one overall draft.
Very, like, very
put
high.
Chive and onion type of thing. That's
sure, yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down for that. Smear that on an everything bagel.
Yeah, smear it.
And we're good to go. But I'll eat basically any bagel.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna turn down. Have you ever had like a what are they called? Like the sugar the sugary ones with like it's kind of like a donut, but it's sugary like a. But it's a bagel.
I was going to say
no.
You haven't?
What do you? There, what like is? A, what is that?
A cinnamon sugar bagel, maybe is what it is.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You eat it with like a sweet. So I like it with like a strawberry cream cheese.
Okay, I haven't really had that. I haven't really had that. I have had a cinnamon raisin bagel. I went through a phase where I was really into like making bagel sandwiches with a cinnamon raisin bagel. Because it had like sort of like the salty sweet thing going on.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I don't know that
not
I could do
me.
That.
Yeah. It was a phase, you know? I don't know that I would say I was wrong, but I don't want to do it again. I'm fine. There's other ways to get that salty sweet combo without having to put raisins in my body. We should put community in our bodies now. We should talk about this episode more specifically because it is only like tangentially about a bagel.
Yeah, there's a very small portion of the episode.
Not enough bagels. They spill out all over the floor.
Yes, and that's why it's there's not much bagel talk, because simply what happens is Jeff walks in. He's wearing a leather jacket, wallet, chain. He looks quote unquote, you know, cool. He's wearing black pants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shirley brought bagels for everybody. And Jeff obviously wore this outfit because he has billiards class and he wants to look cool. And he knocks over the bagels, and that's when Britta says, "Oh, great! So much for the bagels."
Is this iconic in Community, the bagels?
Yeah.
Does this recur, or is this like a one-time thing, and like everyone just like no one let it go?
It's just an iconic moment. That's all it is.
I think
it's like your bit.
It is like one of those things that's so offensive that you probably just never drop it.
I also think it's because like the Britta gif of like people making fun of her later in the episode is also somewhat iconic. So I think those two combined just create a wonderful moment of like, we can't let this go, that Britta says bagel.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
I think what's interesting about this whole subplot is like, I feel like, I don't know if it's the moment, but it's like certainly like a moment that like defines like the shift towards just like everybody just deciding to crap on Britta, like the whole rest of the show.
Is this the moment? I don't know if it is the moment. Is like, it the bagel that broke the, I don't know.
I'd say we're certainly leaning in that direction at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like we had like the dancing stuff, which was like them making fun of her. And now we have this, which is them making fun of her. Yeah, it's definitely shifting in that general direction, I would say.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I think it's like the, I don't know if it's like the, from a writer's perspective, but like they're definitely like playing with it, right? Because like they just never let up on her. And I don't think she takes it like as personally as she does like later in the show, but certainly like pretty vindictive about like dying on the bagel hill, if you will.
Yeah, she does like, she refuses to let it go. She, you know, it is the kind of thing where after a while, she'd be like, all right, I must be wrong. You guys must be right. This is why I say it this way. And then like everyone either is like cool and it's like, okay, that's fine. As long as you admit that, like, that's not the way it's said. And we all move on. But instead she does dig into, Fort Bagel. Like that is where she chooses to end her reputation. It's not good.
And it's at this point that Troy is flipping pages in his Spanish textbook, and he finds a drawing of Abed with hearts around it. Troy bought the book used, so they need to find out who drew the picture. Obviously, it's a girl who has a crush on Abed. This is so romantic. It's just like The Notebook, except instead of Alzheimer's, Abed has, and then Shirley, like, shushes Annie, someone who likes him. And this is when Pierce says that he thinks the person is fat because of thick pencil lines.
Yeah, a heavy hand is what he says.
So rude. It's so awful.
It is very rude.
It's kind of Pierce the whole time here, though, right?
Like, yeah.
It's a lot of him being rude.
Yeah, very
He's
rude guy.
He's pretty awful
week.
In this episode.
It's not his best episode. He's been doing pretty well here. This is not his best one. We begin this storyline of somebody likes Abed, and who could it be? And let's investigate.
Yes. So that brings us to Spanish class.
Mm-hmm.
Chang repeatedly saying adios to try to end the class, but no one knows that that's what he's doing. Shirley brings the Spanish book to Chang, and he pretends to psychically read the book and says, "Jenny Adams." It's in the front of the book. And I love Chang calling out Annie for not noticing. He's like, "That might understand, but how did you not think of that?"
Yeah, I liked that too. I really appreciated Chang in this episode because he's so limitedly used.
Yeah.
And his scene is really funny. The whole like adios and like everyone repeating it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm trying to get you leave. Class is over. I thought it was pretty great.
The best part about all that is he just drops the book on the floor, and then like Annie goes over like smiling the whole time to go pick it up. She's just so happy to be a part of it. He's so mean to Annie throughout this whole season. Like something I forgot about.
He drags her out of the classroom. He makes her stand outside. He pretends to chomp on her brain.
Mm-hmm.
He pays far too much attention to Annie for my liking. This is when Annie blames Britta's pronunciation of the word bagel. And this is the beginning, I think, of Britta being the worst. He's like, "Oh, you're the worst."
Yeah, you're the worst.
Yeah. And Pierce thinks Jenny Adams is a fat girl's name. Might as well be Gravy Jones.
Gravy which, Jones.
I'm sorry, but the line "might as well be Gravy Jones" cracked me up every single time I watched this episode. And I don't know why. It's not. It's not even like it's so stupid. Like whose name is Gravy Jones?
Gravy Jones.
I have like one note at like the top of my notes here. It's the only like overall thing that I have. It's just like this whole episode is just like so out of pocket. Like everything that Pierce says is from like you're like where is this coming from?
Nowhere. Yeah. Gravy Jones. I have to imagine that there are a ton of Community fans who have like named cats Gravy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Great cat name. Great name for like a bulldog or a pug.
I could see it. The only thing I think of when I think of Gravy Jones, though, is like a pirate because of Davy Jones.
Gravy Jones locker.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's in Gravy Jones locker? Obviously biscuits.
More gravy. Yeah. If there isn't gravy in Gravy Jones locker, I am going to be disappointed. But also, if there's gravy in Gravy Jones locker and I find it, I'm going to be alarmed. It's probably hot and old.
Ooh, it has that like film on the top of it.
Yes, a very thick film, probably at this point moldy.
Ooh.
We started off so good with like bagels, and now we're at moldy gravy.
I didn't do it. He said Gravy Jones.
You just did that. That was
I suppose it was me. Ultimately, I did do that, I think.
Hubbard doesn't seem interested in getting to know who this Jenny Adams is, but everybody else really wants him to meet her. Abed asks if they're going to Can't Buy Me Love.
You're going to Can't Buy Me Love Me.
I love Can't Buy Me Love. Yeah. I absolutely love that movie. And so when it gets referenced, it just makes my heart so happy. Yeah. Young Patrick Dempsey. It's just such a sweet 80s movie.
You're
going to
Can't Buy Me Love Me. Which is really the white remake of Love Don't Cost a Thing.
And it's so uncomfortable has when they do that.
It's so uncomfortable when they do that. I can't believe it doesn't insult them. It's really, really brilliant.
It is. And I also love Don't Cost a Thing. That movie is also very good. It's so good. It's a tale as old as time. We have to make the guy likable so he can get a date with the pretty girl.
That's what's gotta happen. Or else what, you know? How's anyone going to make it if we don't do that?
Yeah, how could anybody ever meet anybody if they just were themselves? It's just not possible, right?
Not possible.
Jeff says nobody is doing that because they've seen enough after school specials to know Abed just has to be himself.
Mm-hmm.
Britta agrees with Jeff, and Jeff says Abed can bring her to a deli and treat her to a nice bagel.
To a nice bagel, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody laughs.
Yeah. I think it was telling. It's telling to me that this whole thing is not written from the perspective of somebody who understands bagel culture at all. Because like, why don't you go to the deli and get a, like, that's not necessarily, like, you go like to the bagel store, I feel like. You can certainly get a bagel at a deli, 100%, but like, that's not where you go.
But you're speaking as a New Yorker. Outside of New York?
Yeah.
You probably do go to a deli to get a bagel.
That's totally fine, but it just strikes me that this is written from the perspective of somebody who calls a bagel a bagel. Now, why don't you go to the deli and get a bagel? It's like, that's not really like, that's not the number one place that you would go.
No, you get like a sub at a deli or where you get, you know,
hard roll. Like,
when you call it a hard roll, I call it a Kaiser roll.
You can do a Kaiser roll. That's fine too.
Is that the same thing? I never knew.
I'm not sure. I think that they're like lightly different potentially. Yeah, there may be like a poppy seed difference.
Ooh.
I'm not entirely sure. But I could interchangeably call it a hard roll or a Kaiser roll. I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be scandalized.
Yeah, I agree with, like, if I'm going to a deli, like, I'm getting some cold cuts, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm never, like, you,
I'll
there
get
are
a bagel,
stores,
but, like, that's like, just, like, as the punchline, I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
It'd be better if you said, like, why don't you go to Brugger's and get a bagel or something like that.
Yeah, I could see
great.
That. Yeah. Even, like, I think, like, Panera is more bagels now.
Why don't you go to Panera and get yourself a bagel would be a better line.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, because anywhere outside of downstate New York is, they're not going, they're not having, like, specified bagel shops. Like, you're probably going to Panera.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
So, we're now in billiards class, which... set up as one half of the room is a gym and the other half of the room at pool tables.
Okay, so brilliant. I had a question about this. Like, how can Greendale afford three pool tables? Like, this is Greendale we're talking about. That's the only thing I thought about while I was watching this. I imagine
they're hand-me-downs from, like, dive
legacy
bars.
Legacy pool but, tables. Like, they, yeah.
they, that red one was, like, the felt on there. Like, that looked new. I'm just
They've
saying.
They've been
like,
in the family for quite some time, these pool tables. Yeah. They've
been in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
The Greendale family.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff is thinking ball after ball. Everyone's impressed. The coach comes in and welcomes everyone to pool, which is a phys ed class, so they have to wear the proper equipment.
Yeah. Short shorts. Coach Bogner coming in to bust up Jeff's wardrobe.
Yes. And in the commentary, I thought there was a really funny anecdote about how the PE teacher was almost played by Ice Cube.
Would have been great. Oh.
Like, I love a world where that happens. I also love this world where it's like
I love
Clark
the world where
brilliant.
Dusty Bogner plays Coach Bogner. Yes. I don't know who Blake Clark is.
Yeah, sorry, Dusty Bogner. He is the one true phys ed teacher.
But
Ice Cube would have been great.
I would have happily lived in the world where that was Ice Cube. Would have been pretty great.
Yeah. The hip hop head in me. Like, oh, that's a dream come true.
Especially in like the Tidy Whiteys, if they made him have that scene. That would have been great.
That would have been good.
So Leonard tells Jeff he's going to look ridiculous, and Jeff says he learned all about Leonard's gambling addiction from his son on Family Day, which you can tell these were shot out of or aired out of sequence because Family Day is actually coming up. We haven't seen that episode yet.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, so love a Leonard. Shut up, Leonard. It's always wonderful to have that.
So is that next week?
I think is it, so. Yes.
So it's
it
like
is.
A, it's like a little switcheroo. Okay,
yep.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Cool.
So we're now in the cafeteria. Annie says that Jenny Adams is the blonde reading Pride and Prejudice. She's really pretty. Shirley tries to pretend she's not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Britta tells Abed they're all going to be here for him. They tell him to be himself and go over there. And he says if he's being himself,
yeah,
he wouldn't
by
go
not
over
going
there.
Over there. Yeah, I'm being myself. Yeah, I love how they all just like start winking at each other.
Yeah, the eyebrows. It's always the eyebrows.
This is a legendary Abed episode, no?
I mean, yeah. A lot of the gifts, I would say, are pretty legendary from this episode. I also think as a character note and like on the character arc for him, I really, really like this Abed specific, or excuse me, this episode specifically for Abed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an early favorite, I think. I actually think the last week's episode, I thought Abed was like, that's like my version of Abed that I remember from season one. But yeah, I think that, I mean, he just kills every scene that Abed's in. Like, he is absolutely on one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So Annie asks if there's a version of him that would go over there, and Abed starts to walk over. He says it's like a vampire. I believe that Josh is correct. He does seem more like a dinosaur.
He's like
me.
A dinosaur of some variety. He's like,
I
wrote
up.
A lizard Abed is peak Abed, and then I go, okay, correction, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, every time I feel like I come on here, we talk about vampires. So,
it seems
Strigoi.
To happen. Strigoi. this is Strigoi Abed. Whatever he's doing, Strigoi. This is not good.
No.
Although I would have loved to have seen it play out to its fullest.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that, like, this was not an illustration of Abed. So, like, how would this have gone?
What does he do when he gets over there?
Yeah, it would have been pretty amazing. Yeah.
So Britta sends Abed away and says that if Abed's himself, he's going to die alone. So they need to help him. Mm-hmm. This is when Troy stops Abed from walking towards Jenny with, like, his arms straight up. Troy just picks him up and walks him away. That's also a really, really popular gif.
Uh-huh.
Pierce leaves because he can't be seen with all this. He says he already has two strikes.
He's got two strikes. And so
concerning.
I mean, that's not surprising though.
Not
at all, unfortunately. Yeah.
So we're now back in billiards class. Jeff walks out in short shorts and his leather jacket. People are whistling as he's trying to take his shot. He misses.
He bends down. Yeah, like he's like on the ground as he's trying to take the shot.
He brings his uniform back to the coach. The coach says it's regulation. Jeff says he's comfortable in his own clothes, and the coach says he bets he's comfortable dressed like a model instead of an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Instead of an athlete.
Yeah, the way he says athlete is like realtor.
Uh-huh.
Athlete. Extra syllable.
Uh-huh.
Jeff says that this is weird. No one plays pool like that. And did anybody notice the Coach Bogner's office and all of the crazy things happening inside of it?
No.
Nope.
So
I didn't. You'll have to give us the rundown.
First of all, there is a pair of short shorts framed on the wall. But beyond
who do they belong to?
I don't know. They're just random shorts framed up hanging on the wall. And then obviously we have like the weird like Kama Sutra pool happening also. Mm. And behind the coach, there's a poster. It looks like kind of like a movie poster, but every face is the coach. And I don't understand what's happening here. It's so weird. He sees himself as a star,
you know?
I guess so. There was just so much happening in that office that I had to like pause down and really look at what was going on.
What kind of movie was it? Like,
I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention, but yeah, definitely it had his face on it. And I'm like, did he like get this made for himself?
I'm gonna find this.
It's very strange. So the coach calls Jeff a hipster because he's dropping the class because he cares more about how he looks than how he's playing.
Now, is this just made for the show, or do people have to wear shorts to play pool, like competitively?
Is definitely made for the show.
Okay.
Yeah, because like,
just wanted to ask.
Most of the times
I played a lot of pool, so yeah. It is a trick question.
But like most of the times you encounter pool in the wild, like it's mostly at a bar, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to really be in shorts at a bar. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as established, probably we'll be in shorts at a bar. you know.
Well, you think it would be dangerous because if a pool ball comes flying off the table and hits you in the leg, like at least you'd have pants to protect that, yourself.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
If you really are thinking about it.
Yeah. Do they edit that part out in pool where they target the people wearing shorts? Because I never see that on TV.
All this editing in sports, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's not live, right?
It's dangerous.
It's never. Made up, like wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So Jeff says that he can kick
the coach's
ass. How are
you guys at pool, by the way? Can you both play pool?
I think I'm capable of playing pool. I don't think it's like my like
that's not your
game
sport.
Of choice. No.
Yeah. No. Like, Last time I played it was on my honeymoon and I lost. I'm not very good at it. It's fine.
Yeah. She comes no surprise that I cannot shoot pool. Lord knows I've tried. I have given it the good old college try. Has not taken.
It's kind of boring. I don't mean to hurt people's feelings if they really love pool. I just don't find it that fun.
It looks extremely satisfying to do if you know how to do it. And I'm very jealous of people who know how to do it.
Like, the only other time in, like, any, like, media where I've been like, playing pool would be cool is, like, that Drake and Josh episode where they hustle everywhere. Have you guys seen this? You guys
no.
Drake and Josh people?
Mm-mm. I'm a bit too old for it, I think. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
sorry, baby Ben.
Speaking of Yvette Nicole Brown, Drake and Josh alum. So there's an episode where Drake teaches Josh how to play pool. And so they're going like Josh works at a movie theater. And so they're there. I'm probably butchering this, but like, you know, essentially like Josh ends up being really good. So they start hustling people and then it gets out of hand and shenanigans ensue.
Yeah.
But it looked very cool when they were playing.
The version of this for me is Fresh Prince. Where Will is like, he's in over his head and Uncle Phil comes to like take him out of like the situation he's in playing pool. And then he goes and like does poorly against a guy. He like gets suckered into it. And then like they make a huge bet. And then at which point, like Uncle Phil, like sort of like from Clark Kent to Superman, just like straightens up his posture and says to Jeffrey, bring me Lucille. And then Jeffrey like brings in Uncle Phil's like custom pool stick because he's like secretly incredible. Emily always says, Jeffrey, bring me Lucille. We love that episode. Yeah. My goal, and I think this is probably, I've talked about this on podcasts before, but my number one goal in life is to become a pool shark.
Okay.
That is your number one goal?
I talk about this a lot, so I'm surprised you haven't heard it. That I would like to become a pool shark. What I would like is like to continuously like, build up this reputation of I have no idea what I am doing with pool, go on multiple podcasts, talk about it, talk about how I want to become a pool shark as if I'm not already, and just like hype that up so that someday when we all like get together and there's like eventually like the post-show recaps pool tournament, I'm like, I can't get in on this. No. And like, and it just turns out like no one's like been on me. And so like it, you know, very profitable. Like it's going to be great.
It's a very long con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I can't wait till this plays out.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's probably, I would guess, like probably like 20 years away. So like we'll all be here. Gone. Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be great.
Okay, so the coach asks if this is a challenge and says if he plays him, he has to wear shorts. Jess says he has nothing to prove and pool and shorts is stupid.
Pool and shorts is stupid.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, still
wear shorts.
Those were like
gym shorts. Yeah, shorts. And like that you have to wear
they're
them.
They're like 70s
shorts.
Gym shorts.
Yeah, and like ill-fitting. And
yeah, they were tight, man. They were like real tight.
Yeah.
We're now in a random classroom, which I love. I love that the group has a study room to hang out in, but sometimes whenever they're like conniving on plans, they're like hidden away in some random classroom that's never used.
Yes. Greendale is like, I feel like there is like a haunted house quality to the community college.
Yeah.
Where there's just like all these like abandoned rooms. Who knows what's been done here?
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So the group is trying to teach Abed how to get with Jenny. Pierce says Abed has 2 days before he goes after her. What? I'm incentivizing him.
Yeah.
He's so rude.
He's very rude.
Ugh, I hate it. Abed thinks they want to change him into someone more likable. Shirley says it isn't about changing. It's about learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Pierce says something horribly offensive to Abed.
Yeah.
Because Pierce is just really not great in this episode. This is when we get into the I love this scene, and this scene alone gives me like huge points for Annie this week for me, because I think that the way this whole thing plays out is absolutely hilarious. As Abed like comes up next to her with the cigarette, like, you're familiar with two sins, how about a third?
So good.
Yeah.
He offers her cigarettes and she says she doesn't think they can smoke in here. And he goes, then you picked the wrong outfit.
Yeah, you picked the wrong outfit.
So good. He leans in to kiss her and Annie is like all in on this. And Josh, you should remember this from one of the paintball episodes. Like, Annie is very much into this type of guy. And I mean, obviously anybody who's familiar would know that Allison was on Mad Men.
Yes.
So this totally tracks. Stops them and asks what Abed's doing, and he says he's Don Draper
from Mad Men. And they're all like, oh god, and Annie's like, I liked it.
Pierce and Annie are all like super into it.
Yeah.
I love the way that Troy says awesome here, like, I just, in the inflection that Donald Glover puts is hilarious.
Yeah. Awesome. I just like, I couldn't stop watching Allison Brie throughout this scene of just like being like still kind of like living in the moment. Like, she just loved it so much. Absolutely killed me.
Yeah. I just love how susceptible Annie is to all of these types of things. Cause it happens multiple times in this show. And I just love her reaction to it.
Yeah.
Shirley says he shouldn't be like Don Draper because he cheats on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I love Britta here. Like, Britta for me is really great in this episode. I feel like she's like underrated in this episode. She's just a lot of like funny moments.
Yeah.
This one, especially, Britta says he should be like Joe from Facts of Life. But
the dude version.
The dude version.
And then Troy's like, you should be like Calvin, his best friend's a tiger, he went on dope adventures.
Yeah. He just pees on everything.
He just pees on everything. Yeah.
I love that. I love Donald Glover so much.
And I think Pierce in the background is like, oh, Coolidge.
Yeah. Go Calvin Coolidge. That's Pierce's best moment in the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Calvin Coolidge.
Annie says Don Draper was the sexiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is when Jeff walks in and asks what they're doing. He's upset they're trying to change Abed. Abed does a spot on Jeff impression.
A very good Jeff impression. Yeah.
He says that Jeff is 10% Dick Van Dyke, 20% Sam Malone, 40% Zach Braff in Scrubs, and 30% Hilary Swank in Boys Don't Cry.
It's very strange slices of pie. I feel like.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you both. The Zach Braff one was confusing. Like, 40%. Yeah. I've seen Scrubs all the way through multiple times. Like, they're in no way have I ever compared Jeff Winger.
Is it the hair?
To JD. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
But like, Jeff doesn't daydream ever, you know?
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is he says, he doesn't say JD. He says Zach Braff. He doesn't say the character.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that, because he says like 20% Sam Malone, who's a character.
Right. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I wonder if this was like, is this an in joke that this was like how he was like described in like the casting process? Like this is who they were looking for.
Yeah. If it was, they didn't say anything in the commentary about it. I'm interested in it. I don't know exactly how they arrived at this equation. And Britta suggests that Abed should act like Jeff for Jenny, and Jeff thinks this is a horrible idea. And Troy asks why Jeff isn't in billiards class, and Jeff says, because I don't look cool in shorts.
Yeah. It's not about looking cool. Over. It's about feeling cool.
Well, he doesn't feel cool in shorts either.
Yeah. Well, he's going to.
Yes.
He's on his way.
And very, very little else.
Yes.
Abed, we're in the cafeteria. Abed approaches Jenny and says, I don't want to spoil the ending, but pride ends up with prejudice.
A good line. A very good line.
Yeah. Everyone's excited about this.
Like, have I seen you before? You look so familiar.
Yeah. He's been told he has a face for sketching. Yeah. He thinks it's a face for kissing.
Yeah, a face for kissing.
What a wild pickup line that is. Yeah. Like, very forward.
But it seems like it almost works until White Abed shows up. And this tripped me out really hard.
Yeah.
This was a shock. This was a big shock.
This was multiple hours of makeup for Danny Pudi.
Yeah, they said something like a whole day, like crazy. Like,
yeah. I mean, they're like lightening his skin, like probably finding foundation that's like three shades too light for poor Danny.
This was wild when he shows up. And he's like, what are you doing hitting on my girlfriend? And like, his voice is different. Like, his posture is different. The hair is ridiculous.
Like orange hair.
It really tripped me out.
Yeah.
Like, I had to, like, I try never to Google anything about Community because, like, I'm afraid to get zinged on spoilers. And
this is what you Googled?
I had to. I was like, it's him, right? Like, what is this? It really blew me away.
Sure. Here's the thing, though.
I was unsettled. I was very the whole scene was just like so weird to me. Very strange.
You should know this is possible, right? Yeah. Because you've seen Mythic Quest, and I would say like his character in Mythic Quest is
so different.
So different than Abed. Yeah. So like he has the capabilities as an actor to obviously play different roles, but I think the visual impact of it is striking.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Yeah. Yes. So everyone's super excited until they see White Abed being very mean to Abed.
Yeah.
We're in the study room. The dean has an announcement. And one last lost and found announcement. Jeff Winger, I've been informed by Coach Bogner that you left your panties in his pool class, so better pick those up.
So awful. There's the dean. The dean is going to really show up for the end of the episode, I feel like.
In a big way. Yeah. Jeff's upset. He doesn't think he's a hipster. Would hipsters buy $300 jeans from Italy?
No.
Would they? I don't think so.
They're throwing around the word hipster a lot.
Yes.
Is Jeff a hipster?
It's like, losing its meaning.
Yeah.
I would think that like Britta's more hipster than Jeff is.
Yes.
Britta falls under that way more. I think that's right.
I think that's
like,
correct.
Like Jeff is like kind of a poser, but he's not.
Yes.
You know, shout out John Fincher, but
Jeff is a poser.
Yes. Jeff Winger is a poser. Yeah.
That's, I think that's accurate. I actually think you could also probably accuse Britta of being a bit of a poser as
correct.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I would lean towards that before hipster for her as well. Yeah. But if you were going to throw a hipster on anyone in the group, it would be Britta.
Yeah. The sheer number of leather jackets she owns alone, honestly.
More so like than the one that Jeff wears this one episode. Correct.
Yes.
So Annie's upset about Abed. She thinks his heart's broken. Jeff says, I told you so. Mm-hmm. Abed arrives and he's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
He thinks everybody else must be upset. Shirley gives Jeff the rundown on what happened. And Jeff asks if that makes Abed brown Joey.
Yeah. And she says, if you want to get racist about it. It's a great line. Oh, my God.
Abed says they just want him to be happy. And this is where I love this part of the episode specifically, because we get a lot of, based on what he says, we kind of can realize what Abed's past is like. He says, everybody wants me to be happy. Everybody wants to help. But usually when they find out they can't, they get frustrated and stop talking to me. Or they trick me into buying them ice cream and then shove me into a clothes dryer. Aww. Which I don't want to happen with you guys. So I wanted to make sure you felt like you could help me. The truth is, lots of girls like me because, let's face it, I'm pretty adorable.
I love Abed so much. I just love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
When he's so buying everybody else ice cream, like, is he getting some as well and then going the dryer? Because
otherwise, it's going to be really like...
it would melt instantly, no?
Yeah, I would think. But would you rather be stuffed in a locker with ice cream or without ice cream?
It's a clothes dryer.
I thought he said, oh, he's stuffed into the clothes dryer. Yeah, either way, would you rather be stuffed into a clothes dryer with ice cream or without ice cream? I think probably with.
Anytime there's ice cream, I want it. Yeah,
I want it afterwards. I don't know if I want it before. I mean, I feel, you know.
Not before, but like maybe like during, because like I'm stressed, I'm nervous. Maybe I eat the ice cream. Maybe I calm down. I start thinking a little more clearly.
Oh, I guess what's weird is I was thinking that the clothes dryer was on. But I guess that would be tricky.
No, I think that'd be hard.
It's a new wrinkle, no pun intended.
I think that he wouldn't survive that, would be my guess.
No, no, probably not. Yeah.
Maybe with ice cream.
I love Abed here. I think that this is when Britta's like surprised it didn't damage his self-esteem. And I love the line of, I have self-esteem falling out of my butt.
Uh-huh.
I love that Abed is like so secure in himself. And so he basically says, like, you know, when you're good with who you are, who cares what other people think of you? Which obviously I think impacts both Britta and Jeff in this episode.
Well, it impacts Britta in being like, well, you can mock me on my one. I'm still going to call it a bagel. And they're all just like cracking up at her. And then she looks miserable. Miserable.
Her face is so relatable.
Destroyed in seconds. You remember that show? She's been destroyed in seconds. It's so terrible.
Good. So good.
It's ruthless.
But yeah, I don't know. I think this is a huge moment for Abed. I mean, honestly, I feel like this is like on par with episode 3, the intro to film. I feel like we learned so much about Abed in like this one monologue from him.
Well, so I guess one of my concerns is/would be, I don't know if it is or it would be, because like I've seen more of Abed and they definitely do obviously next level stuff with him. Mm-hmm. But I think like my concern would be like after something like this is like, where's the character arc? Like if he's never going to change and like that, like, is that like, mm-hmm. is this dramatically an issue? And I think clearly the answer is going to be no. Right. Like, I think like they're obviously going to feel very much like Abed himself, like feel very confident in the portrayal of Abed. So I think that's cool. I think it's another way in which like the show feels like it's doing different things, you know, like it's doing different things from other sitcoms.
Yeah. And I've always viewed like Abed as like a growth arc is more often in pairs, if that makes sense. Like, I think it starts off where like he's definitely a big component of Jeff growing, especially in this episode.
Yeah.
And then that moves more towards Troy. And then like, you know, it goes on and so forth. But like it's always about him growing with another person, I feel like more so. And then like he's kind of the constant, not to bring
there's definitely still a growth arc for Abed, but I definitely think of the entire group, he doesn't change as much as everybody else.
Yeah, because he knows who he is and he loves who he is, and that's great.
He doesn't feel the need to. So but I'd say he still grows, but just in a very different way.
Yeah.
It's obviously not as drastic as someone like Jeff, right? Like who's intended to be the character that grows the most.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we're in billiards class. Jeff enters.
Jeff's inspired now. Yes. He's like, oh, I'm just going to be myself. Yes. You could put me in these ridiculous shorts and I'm still just going to wipe the floor with Coach Bogner.
Yeah. And Coach Bogner, shouldn't you be in an Urban Outfitters? Yeah. Which I also feel like Jeff doesn't shop at Urban Outfitters, but maybe that's on me. I don't know.
I could see him shopping at Urban Outfitters.
I feel like he's, I don't know. Isn't that like not as expensive as like his tastes would be?
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like he's like a Banana Republic guy. Yeah. Is right. This shirt is Urban though. So that I'm wearing.
Maybe.
So yeah, I don't know.
So Jeff challenges Coach to a game of pool. Jeff sinks a ton of shots in a montage. A crowd forms.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff wipes his butt on the pool table. Mm-hmm. Coach says, "See, you haven't learned anything except how to look cool playing pool in shorts."
Yeah.
Jeff says he just learned how to have fun playing pool. How cool is this? And he reveals boxer briefs.
Uh-huh. They just end up getting, we can like yada yada through this, right? They just end up getting fully naked.
Full on naked.
And they're like ripping their clothes off. They're like screaming to the heavens.
I don't know that you could realistically like pull off your underwear and rip them with like one hand, like both of them do.
It'd be difficult.
Yeah, Jeff's kind of cut though. He's pretty strong. I feel
it'd
like
it'd be hard. And I think like the clothes would have to be tattered.
That's what I'm saying. There has to be at least a seam ripped in there.
Yes. Like these are, we're talking about like weathered wear, right? Like the material has been through life.
Yeah.
Right.
These are like laundry day underwear for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And the dean is loving this.
Loves this. Chang is like, shouldn't you like stop this? Like, yeah, I'm just collecting evidence.
Yeah, and Chang takes bets. So he's there too.
By the way, Chang being a bookie is like the least surprising thing.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. It's really great.
Then they have this is when they get in their underwear and then they're, you know, they're all naked. So then we have Jeff taking the final shot on the eight ball. I actually really love this shot. I think it's hilarious. He lifts his leg onto the table.
I know, everyone can see.
Yeah. Because, you know, Dean is taking a photo. Annie does the, like, look through her fingers thing. Which, like, I'm sorry, Annie, but, like, nobody wants to look at that.
It's so funny. It's so funny. It's so great. I, like, have to, like, it's so bizarre. And, like, I feel like in terms of, like, the content of the episode, well, maybe it does because like White Abed is so ridiculous. Like there is like a cartoonish quality to this one, where it doesn't feel like it exists in reality.
Yeah,
like what they do
like,
here.
Is this canon?
Yeah, you know, like I do have like some questions as to whether or not it is based on this whole part where like in 8 years they'll tell the tale. One of us loved clothes and one of us loved the game. But like, even if like I don't love it, like. For Jeff necessarily, like, I'm just like Joel McHale, like, you did it, like, you went there, you went for it, like, gotta give props to Joel McHale, I think, for just like really going there in this one.
Yeah. Do you think it's in his contract to like be mostly naked at least like one episode a season or something just to show off like his body?
Yeah,
it's gonna happen a couple times in the first season, like, you know, coming up. But I love the needle drop during the montage, like,
yes. Yeah, the song, yeah.
Yeah, Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Yeah. So,
Yeah,
so I'm a music guy, you know, as you both know. What's really crazy about the song, like, two things. One, Fleetwood Mac. So you have Mick Fleetwood and John McAfee are both in the song, like, playing instruments, like, in the background, which is very cool. And the other is that Sandler did a version of this song, like, on, like, some tribute album.
That's fun.
When the artist passed. So another Sandler connection here.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Werewolves of London. Fish does a great job with this one. It's just a great song.
Yeah, great for that as well. Yeah,
you hear Werewolves of London, it's just gonna be a good time. It's just a great song.
I especially love the like Coach Bogner like doing the thing across screen.
Yeah.
It's so good, and I love how it all ends. Jeff wins. The coach tells him he could play pool however he wants, and he goes, "I choose shorts.
You magnificent son of a bitch. Yeah, and then he kisses him, and then it's like that. Like brings everyone back to reality of like what's just happened.
Everyone's celebrating. The dean, of course, has to touch Jeff's abs because when does he not have to touch Jeff's abs?
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we get the woman approaching Jeff, who we're supposed to think is into Jeff, but really, oh, can you introduce me to your friend?
Right, right. Yeah, so this is when Jeff says, knowing my friend, it would be better if you introduced yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever see her again, or is this just a one-off thing? Okay,
no, just the one-off, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing Abed, he's like, oh, she didn't like movies enough. I don't want to date her.
Yeah.
And then we have white Abed sits next to Annie. Man, why couldn't I be brown Joey?
Oh, my God. The whole thing is so surreal. Yeah. It's so strange.
I just imagine them pitching this as an episode. And everybody's just like, what?
How did it happen? Yeah. It's great.
And then the after credit scene. Oh my God, it's legendary. Yeah. Troy and Abed are Ernie and Bert respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Troy returns the Spanish book he borrowed, but he ripped out all the pages. Troy gives Abed a cookie and they pretend to eat them. Troy,
they don't pretend to eat them.
Yes, they do.
No, they eat the cookies.
No, they don't eat anything.
They eat the cookies like a Muppet would, which is to say that they just like kind of like vaguely smash it at their mouth.
Yeah, they don't actually eat them.
Okay, but they got some of the cookie, right?
Yes.
They got a little
bit. But most of it crumbles.
I would say this isn't pretending to eat a cookie. I would quantify this as eating cookies like a Muppet, which is like you are getting like you are. You are getting 5% of the cookie.
Per, this like, is such a weird like, thing to quibble
5%
about.
Of cookie per bite. Yeah.
Regardless, none of the cookie gets consumed. And Troy realizes he has his cousin's funeral today. I knew there was a reason I couldn't do this today.
Yeah, and it gets like very tense. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Poor Dimitri or whatever the heck his. I think it's poor Dimitri.
Yeah.
His cousin. This is very obviously Streets Ahead. Very obviously mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
So good.
Ben, for you as well?
I just love Donald Glover, and he can do anything, and I'm going to like it. I just like that he can just switch on a dime. Like, a lot of the community cast can, and I love Sesame Street back in the day. Streets Ahead. It was perfect.
Yeah. So I'm going to be the only one who's Streets Behind on this one, huh?
Ooh.
It's a joke! Obviously, it's Streets Ahead! Ah, it's so good. It's just the best. one of the best. Where we're going, we don't need Streets. This is one of the best. This is like probably best next to the original Biblioteca rap, right?
Now that you say that, I am looking up my own rankings for the end tags, because now I need to know where I put this. I know I have it.
It's
got to
be very high. I can't. I mean, they just do such a great Bert and Ernie. Like their Bert and Ernie is so perfect. And it's an inspired idea because like Troy and Abed, like there is like a Bert and Ernie quality to them.
Yeah, the height difference.
The height disparity is so perfect. Yeah. It's so perfect.
So I actually have this at 15th.
My
own ranking.
But
and the two that you've seen, so there are a few that are above it actually that you've seen. But it has to be moved up.
Where's the library rap?
That's number one.
Oh, number one. Cool.
Number one. Come on. I'm not insane.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. It's so good. This episode, that's the thing. In my opinion, I feel like one storyline is a lot better than the other. So my episode rating will judge that accordingly. Yes. I much prefer the Abed storyline to the Jeff storyline. I feel like we're still in season one when they treat Jeff like he's like the main guy. And so we have to have an entire storyline dedicated to just him, which leaves characters like Shirley, not so much Annie this episode. She has a little bit more of a presence, but I just feel like this episode kind of leaves them a little bit in the dust to focus more on Jeff, which isn't my favorite.
Fair.
Yeah. I think they're kind of both B plots is what I was thinking about. They're both very strong, in my opinion, in terms of like they're very fun. It's a very silly episode and very fun all the way through. But like in terms of like and for a community that works, but for another show of like a similar, like I think if this was 30 Rock, like these are both B plots, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I could totally see that.
Mm-hmm. It was a funny episode, though. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot in here that did crack me up. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a pretty good score, but not as strong as some of the other more recent ones. Mm-hmm. Let's get into some F community feedback from Riley. Riley writes in, a cynical view would be that Jeff just doesn't care, doesn't think that you should get involved in other people's lives. But I think that's wrong. I think going all the way back to the pilot and the whole I see your value now, Jeff fully understands who Abed is, respects Abed, and also sees him as an equal, which a lot of the other people in the group, despite loving Abed, sometimes lack in those qualities. Riley continues and says, I think Jeff and Abed's relationship is very similar to Jack and Hurley from Lost. Only the Jack comparison in Community is a lot more likable. Yeah, because Jack is very unlikable on Lost. That's great. I love Jeff and Abed as Jack and Hurley. I think that totally scans for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that I agree completely with Riley here. We're very much on the same page, very much simpatico most of the time. I don't know that I think that. I would not go so far as to say that Jeff views Abed as an equal. Yeah. I think Jeff still views himself as better than everybody else. But I don't know. I don't know that I have a complete understanding on why Jeff is like, just leave Abed alone in this episode. Like, it could be because he's just like, we all should just stay out of each other's business a little bit more around here. Like, I think that's maybe a little bit more where Jeff's coming from.
Yeah.
I thought that in general, Jeff was a little out of character throughout. Like when he gets flustered by like Coach Bogner being like, you know, like when he's like, you know, playing shorts and he's like, you know, like kind of like stumbling over his words. I'm like, that's kind of not the Jeff Winger that I picture.
Yeah.
Is that he's going to be so bothered by this. He's just going to be like, this is stupid and walk out. Not like completely lose all focus. He's a little cartoony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this comes our way from Anders, writes in and says, there have been so many times where Abed has been given some one-time superpower that could as well be magic. So it's refreshing to see him have the ordinary but hard-earned superpower of confidence. That confidence also makes Abed's weirder behaviors make a lot more sense. The episode makes it very clear that Abed's character progression is not learning how to act around people. He could do that already if he wants to. Abed's arc is him learning when and why he should put in that effort for other people. I love that! Mm-hmm. Anders, I love that take.
Yeah, I thought that was a really great take on Abed's behaviors. Just the fact that he's so confident that he really can kind of, he acts however he wants to act. He doesn't feel the need to necessarily please people all the time, but he's capable of doing it if he wants to do it, which we'll see a lot more in other episodes where Abed is smarter than people really give him credit for a lot of the time.
Yeah. Eric Divestein asks, does Abed carry around a cigarette case at all times for the sole purpose of doing impressions of Don Draper?
I think it makes sense.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, where did these cigarettes come from?
Yeah.
Like, completely. Because it's not the... Well, because I think later on they have the candy cigarettes, but they don't have like...
There's candy cigarettes, but we do see him smoking, remember, in the intro to film, because he lights up a cigarette and he's like, oh, that's show business for you. And then we're just like, is he smoking now?
Maybe he got it to, you know, as he was like progressing into being a filmmaker, and so he just has them. And so, like, he just has the cigarettes.
Actually,
now.
That's like a good way to, maybe not so much now when people aren't as big as smokers, hopefully. Yeah. But like to network, right? Like, if you see someone outside, you're like, oh, you need one? And like, you don't actually smoke, but you offer other people a cigarette.
Yeah, but only if you're doing a Don Draper impression. I think we've touched on this, but from April, is Bagel the beginning of the shift for who Britta shall become? It sounds to me from both of you that the answer to that is yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it happens pretty early.
I think it's like as early as like end of season one, beginning of season two, we start seeing the shift and it just gets wilder and wilder from there. Yeah.
Very sad. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the good news is she's going to score very high on my Meow Meow Beans. It's the Meow Meow time. Let's give our scores for the Meow Meow Beans. I now know what a bagel is, but I am to understand it'll still be a long time before I know what a Meow Meow Bean is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one. That's fine. That's great. A great mystery. You'll love a great mystery. I thought that there were a lot of very funny things. I was generous with a lot of my scores. Jeff of 4, mostly for Joel McHale, really going for it. Britta of 4 for both, like, the cracking me up with the bagel stuff and baffling me with that, and also just the way her face is destroyed at one point. Troy of 4 for the end credits. His Ernie was perfect, and just the comedic timing there. And then Annie, like, very specifically killed me in that scene with Abed this week. Just like the whole, I liked it. It was just I loved that. Pierce is whatever. I gave him a 2. Chang a 3.5. I thought this is a good Chang. This is pretty good Chang. Not like great Chang would be a 4, but some fun stuff. I gave Abed a perfect 5. A perfect 5 for Abed. I just think it's an excellent Abed episode, and I think respect the greatness when you see it. So I gave Abed the full 5. I haven't yet rated Shirley because I do have the benefit of seeing the Meow Meow Bean ratings of my colleagues here. And I'm just going to pass this off to you, Ben, because like your score for Shirley as someone who loves Shirley caught my eye. And I just would like to hear your take on Shirley before I give my final score on Shirley this week.
Okay, so I'm a big basketball fan, and there's a like advanced analytics stat that I love, and it's player efficiency rating. And it's, you know, just talking about like, you know, how efficient was the player with the shots that they took during the game? Pretty simple in that. And I think the same principle applies to Shirley here. I think there were no misses from her, really. I thought that she was so fun this episode. Yeah, her usage rate wasn't very high here, but that doesn't mean that, like, in this one specific instance that, like, she doesn't deserve to be praised for, like, how awesome a performer she is. I mean, Yvette Nicole Brown is awesome. And I just enjoyed, like I think every other character, for the most part, with the exception of Abed, had some, like, at least one moment in the episode where you're like, that's fine. But, like, I don't think I got that with Shirley. So, yeah, I went a perfect 5 with Shirley.
Perfect 5 for Shirley. Yeah. I love the argument. I don't think I can go quite that high, but that will convince me to knock it up. I was going to give her like a 3.5 because she's like very limitedly in the episode. But her lines are great. And the whole like, I don't know how they're not offended by that. Like that whole scene is really great. I'll put, since I'm being generous with a lot of the scores this week, I'll bring Shirley along for the ride of the force. So Shirley gets a 4 from me. All right, Ben. So a perfect 5 for Shirley from you. What else did you do with your Meow Meow Beans?
Yeah, I also did a perfect 5 for Abed. I think you covered it. I mean, he nailed it this episode. It was so fun watching Danny Pudi do Danny Pudi things. He has, like, he's so ridiculously talented. And then especially, like, you mentioned Mythic Quest earlier, like, watching how his character is just so different than going back and watching Community and just seeing him kind of, you can kind of see it, you know, here as well. He was great. I did gave Jeff a 4 here. Solid Jeff. I mean, this is basically his, not perfect, but as good as it's going to get from him for a lot of this part of the season.
Yeah.
I gave Troy a 3, I gave him 3.5. But that's because Troy can do no wrong to me. I know that he like wasn't like, there wasn't a tremendous amount of Troy in this episode, but that Calvin joke cracked me up.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, so I gave him a 3.5. Gave Pierce a 2. He sucks. And then not much more there. I know Jess can be mad. I gave Annie a 3.
That's fine.
Yeah, I probably could bump it up. I'm going to stick with the 3. I thought, again, like she was fine. The Don Draper stuff was hilarious. And then Chang was awesome. I love Chang this episode. Perfect usage of him. Gave him a 4. Basically, I don't think Chang's ever going to hit a 5 from me personally. But, you know, I think this is as good as
it gets. This is about as good as it gets for him. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
All right, Jess.
So for me, I'll start with my Abed also got a 5 from me. I think that this is perfect usage of Abed. We get him. He's funny, but he also has those like heartwarming moments. And this is why I reserve my 5s for moments like these, because Abed is great always. I could always give him a 5, but I feel like I've reserved the moments for moments like these where he's just so on point the entire episode. I gave Britta a 4. I love the grimace. I love the bagel stuff. I think she's a little bit underrated in this episode, so I did want to reward her.
Yep.
Annie, I also gave a 4. The Don Draper thing kills me.
It's very funny.
Her face, like you can't help but watch her face in every scene she's in.
Very expressive.
Yeah, and I do agree with Ben. Like and we've talked about this a little bit of like, even when a character isn't huge in an episode, when they're like electric in the moments they do have, it's even more impressive. And Annie really falls into that category for me a lot of the time. Like, I can't help but be looking at her in scenes, right? She's peeking through her hands when Jeff lifts his leg up on the pool table. I gave Shirley a 3. I thought that she was okay. Here's the thing. I took off points. I could have given her a 3.5. I took off some points because of the stuff that didn't age so well in the beginning, where she says stuff like, oh, well, if it's a guy that drew Abed's picture, we'll have to send him to Jesus or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
she
said, sure. I just don't
like it. And I had to. I forgot about that. If I'm going to deduct points from Pierce for that stuff, I have to do the same for Shirley, as much as I love her.
Fair.
So she got a 3 from me. Troy also got a 3 from me. I think think honestly, I think the highlights for him are the post-credit scene. And because I do, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, I kind of separate that a little bit from my Meow Meow Beans. I view that as more of like a Streets Ahead, Streets Behind thing. It's not exactly episode stuff. So he was fine. I gave him a 3. And I gave Jeff also a 3. I don't really care for the pool storyline, as I've said. It's fine. It doesn't exactly feel like Jeff, like Ben was saying. It feels like a little bit of a caricature. He's a little bit too cartoony for me in this episode. Pierce gets a 2. He sucks. We know he sucks. There's no surprise there. And Chang, I got a 3.5 for. He was good in the parts he was in. I loved him taking deaths and the adios and the book against the head. I thought was very funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, more points than usual for Chang.
Chang's still bringing up the rear. He's in a pretty significant last place as it stands. Senior Chang, despite being so ill and impossible to kill.
We haven't had any movement, really. Annie and Shirley are now tied at fifth place. But beyond that, everybody is still locked in their positions with Abed, with those perfect fives this week, really pulling ahead of the pack.
Dean's list-wise, we are all lockstep for Bogner, right? Yeah, three points for Coach, for Dusty Bogner. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, like, he's great.
It's perfect.
Really fun. Really, he's really good, fun. Yeah. He's great.
On to the cool ratings.
Yeah, I had fun. Like, I didn't think about this too hard. I just gave it the 3.2. I just copied Ben's score. Ben gave it a 3.2. I didn't think about it too hard. I copied Ben's homework. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Like, this was a fun episode.
Oh, shit, I forgot I was supposed to do homework. Yeah. What did you put?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is fun. It's fine. I'll just copy Ben's score. That feels
very Greendale
close to right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I'm doing with these scores. I get panicked about them. So I just like, what did you do?
Don't think about it too much. Yeah.
So I was just like, what did you think? All right, cool. That helps. Give like a 3.2. Then I think about it a little bit more. That's probably like either like a little higher or a little lower than I would actually go. And I'm not entirely sure where. Yeah.
Well,
which
Ben,
direction.
Why did you give it a 3.2?
I can answer more directly why.
So I was thinking about it, and I had like some low expectations going into the episode, and I think that kind of helped with like my initial rating here, where like I had this problem when I watch like especially like episodes like something like New Girl, where I'm like, I've seen a lot of them like a few times, and you're like, like this episode I can like really like rattle off the plot, like, you know, without having seen it in like a year and a half. And that's what I thought was going to be the case with this episode. I totally forgot about all the Abed stuff in this episode. And I was just pleasantly surprised about, like, you know, this is such a classic season one baseline. I think it deviates from like the typical sitcom format that you're going to see, especially in that lineup, but like it doesn't really quite hit like those crazy high highs of what we've seen of something like Paintball. But I thought it was just such a solid baseline of like, I enjoyed the, like, 22 minutes went by so quick. I enjoyed every part of it. So solid. 3.2 is like a B average, right? In, you know, in school. I'm like, that feels about right.
Yeah,
I'm much lower than you both.
Yeah, really low.
I gave it a 2.5. Here's the thing. I still think it's a decent episode of Community, but when I'm looking at my past ratings, I can't necessarily have it super high just because I feel like I want to reserve those you know, those scores for something that I liked more. I could have completely cut out the Jeff storyline and not missed it. Maybe there's a few moments I like of it, but I do think that like the Abed storyline is probably a better storyline. And I, going along with what Ben said earlier, they do kind of both feel like to be storylines. So there's not enough of the other side characters. Season one, if I'm gonna ding it for anything, it definitely focuses too much in my opinion on Jeff and also Abed a little bit. We get a lot of Jeff and Abed heavy episodes, and I just wish they would like diversify it up a little bit sometimes. So I gave it a 2.5. it's still a good episode. It's just not, you know, as high as some of the other ones.
Fair enough. I think that's fair.
Yeah, the audience was with you guys, so a 3.29 from them, which brings our current average to a 3.05, which puts this one solidly in 12th place out of 17.
I'm not mad at that. Sounds probably close to right. But that still means, like, I mean, I don't think that I've hated an episode of the show. I think I've been pretty happy with just about everything, so...
I still think a 2.5, it's out of 4. It's still a good score.
Yeah, it's a good score. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Totally fine. All right. Well, that's physical education. So now what? We go play pool?
I'm down.
Well, we already know you're a shark
now. Go get some bagels?
We can't.
Yeah. No, not yet. I said it's in 2 decades.
Oh, I thought that was the con, though. I thought you're secretly already good.
If you can't play
good.
Like now, then people are gonna know the whole deal.
But that's a good point.
You can only train. Is like how
you don't
gonna...
have like a yeah. You know how he doesn't have like a liar's face. Like I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I don't think he can. Can you lie, right, Josh? I feel like you're not a good liar. I don't know. No, he's not.
No.
Looking at his face. I don't think so.
I don't know.
He's open mouth smiling. I don't know. He's going to convince me.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Gosh. I don't know.
This was great. Really fun to catch up, Ben. Great to get you back on the mic. What's going on? Where can people find you? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, not much. Head over to my Twitter at BeanTube24, talking Sox, playoff basketball, hip hop. You know, there's a new J. Cole album just came out. Had some thoughts on it. But other than that, I'm just hanging out, trying to spend a little bit more time in the Discord.
Nice. Awesome. Jess, it's that time again. We need to find out what kind of shit the 90s have taught you recently.
We are wrapping up season 2 of Boy Meets World. We're starting season 3 soon. Really excited because, gosh darn it, we thought season 2 would give us more Topanga, and guess what? It didn't. So
not
season
enough.
3, hopefully, is more Topanga. We're doing some more fun bonus content in June. The first name, you're going to recognize it. Lindsay Wilson is coming on our podcast. We're talking The Land Before Time, which is a childhood classic.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I finally convinced Sarah to talk about dinosaurs. So it will be a momentous occasion. She doesn't like dinosaurs and I love them. So.
All right, who do we like as far as the dinosaurs of Land Before Time? What's the crew?
Sarah is the worst one, obviously. She's the worst. She's mean.
Yeah.
I think that, right? Like Sarah's obviously the worst one. Ducky's cute.
But I loved a Triceratops as a kid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's Petrie. Petrie kind of sucks too.
I haven't seen this in so long. Like, I could not remember a single character name.
Let me ask a question. Is this a hot take? Do they all suck?
I don't think so. No, I think Littlefoot is
like. Are we out on Littlefoot? Are we out on Ducky?
No,
are we out on Petrie?
Like
are we
one,
out
right?
on Sarah? Well, yeah. Well, that's what you just answered it.
No, but
Littlefoot's
here's the thing.
Boring.
Littlefoot is like the
you
main
just
character.
Dissed three out of the four of them, right? There's only four.
There's
I
more.
Think?
No, there's Spike too. Spike
oh,
is
Spike.
Adorable.
No, Spike is Spike. Spike's number one. Yeah, we stand Spike. Yeah,
no,
got it.
Personally, I think Ducky is probably my number one.
Yeah,
but we'll see. We're gonna rewatch it. So I'll
Ducky
let you guys
one,
know.
Ducky one, Spike two, Littlefoot by default three. Petrie four,
and then Sarah last.
Sarah five.
Why do they all get fun names and it's just Sarah?
Yeah.
You know,
well, she's a Triceratops.
I guess
so. I told you, I don't remember anything.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah.
It's a C-E-R-A. Like, Triceratops.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a ton of fun. We have other bonus content coming up as well, but I'm really stoked to talk about that movie. And then, yeah, obviously Dawson's Creek. We're still cranking out podcasts about that. That
cool.
show is wild.
Yeah, it is.
Wild times on that show.
Yeah. Crazy show. Crazy show. All right. Never too young to join the Post Show Recaps Patreon program because that's what we've got going on here. It is, the start of a new month. It's always the perfect time to sign up, get in on all the crazy shenanigans we've got going on, whether it's the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord, where we have a flourishing community of really fun people engaging in all kinds of things, whether it's TV or movies or hobbies or video games or snacks. We've got everything going on that you could possibly want, except for pool. We could work on that. I do think that there could be a fun pool tournament to be had in the Post Show Recaps patron community. You also get tons of exclusive content like podcasts. There's so many podcasts that you could listen to. And that's just at the $5 level. So there's so many things. You get Wiggler AMAs, working on another one coming your way pretty soon here. So you ever want to ask me a question, hey, I'll answer it. It's going to be fun times. So we've got a lot going on in the Post Show Recaps Patreon. Consider signing up. Support your podcasters. We appreciate it so much. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Beyond that, we've got so many things happening, whether it's Down the Hatch, Everything is Super, is segueing into Loki. Loki is coming your way, and we will be along for the ride. We've just hopped out of Everything is Superman, a really fun four-part series, as we are now going back to the MCU. That's just tip of the iceberg stuff. We also have Aang in there, the Avatar, The Last Airbender rewatch from Zach and Jacob. And Jess, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Zach is going to be joining us for community building next week.
He is another person who was on when we were patron only, and he's coming back, and it's going to be great. I'm excited. Basic genealogy next week.
I love Zach. Yeah, he has great NBA takes. Him and I go back and forth a lot on Twitter about it.
It's going to be fun. I'm really excited to get Zach on here. Basic genealogy. Who's genealogy? I guess we'll find out next week on another episode of Community Building. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Jess, as always, and Corey B., take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greenhill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.